Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we glorify you. And Lord, we magnify you. Father, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us just ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 7 through 15. So I need your attention right here on the board up here. And here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, The Boldness of Apostle Paul. The Boldness of Apostle Paul. Listen, my friends, let me just say this before we get into the study. One of the things that I admired about the Apostle Paul, you got to remember, he was Saul of Tarsus, and we're learning this and reminded through the book of Galatians that he was one time a persecutor of the church. This man was on a one-man's mission to annihilate the brand new church that was birthed on the day of Pentecost. It was the ecclesia of the church, meaning the new born-again church, and it was called the Way at this time, and it was spreading through wildfire. It wasn't spreading through crusades and through church meetings. It was spreading through persecution. Oh, that's right. Listen, this is one thing that God has shown me. We can put up all the programs and do all the outreaches, but when the gospel truly spreads, it's because of persecution. We see this throughout the book of Acts. We see it through the letters of Paul. And it's when the church comes under fire from the world, that's when God will send his anointing and his power, and it will cause hearts and minds to change. Oh, that's right, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm excited, saints of God, for this message, because we're going to learn that Paul the Apostle was bold enough to confront the original 12 apostles that Jesus had called, minus Judas Iscariot, of course. But he had to confront them, and he had to let them know that, listen, the Gentiles don't have to do what the Jews have done in the past, which is circumcision of the flesh, because he had to share with them that we are no longer circumcised of the flesh, but circumcised of the heart. And this is something that had to be reiterated. This is something that had to be revealed to the previous apostles, the original apostles, because they thought that they had to be what the Judaizers were teaching them. And they were being influenced by the Judaizers, these false teachers. And so we're going to continue the story here in Galatians chapter 2, starting with verse 7. And so are we there? Let's go there right now. And let's start with verse 7. And the Word of God reads just like this. Here we go. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter. Verse 8. For he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. Okay? Let's move on to verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and that they too, the circumcised. Verse 10. They desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I was also eager to do. Verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face Uh-oh, here we go. Here was the challenge. I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Wow, look at this now. In verse 13, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter, before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Great question. And we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. I need you to catch this, saints of God, because this was a serious matter, especially to the power of the Holy Spirit. God used Paul to clearly indicate, to truly indicate that what the apostles, what they were learning from the Judaizers was in error. So praise God, God used Paul to confront them, especially Peter, because Peter was he's one of the pillars. He was the first one to preach on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. That was a powerful message. But later on, of course, the false teaching came in and was leading them astray. But God raised up Saul of Tarsus to be Paul the Apostle in an extraordinary way, and the power of the Holy Spirit to correct those things, so that you and I in 2022, we would not be in error, but we would know the truth of the matter. We would know regarding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So saints, what the apostles saw was most likely the convincing success that God had given to Paul's ministry of preaching the good news to the Gentiles. Praise God. And this is compared to Peter, who had been having a dynamic ministry of preaching to the Jews. Oh yes, God was using him mightily. Peter also had contact with Gentiles, probably a key point in the approval of Paul and Barnabas' ministry. And Peter's encounter with Cornelius had demonstrated God's acceptance of the Gentiles. Praise God, praise God. So, my friends, this prepared Peter to accept the legitimacy of Paul's special call. Oh, that's right. See, the power of God confirmed it. You see, my friends, Peter and Paul represented God's ongoing covenant with all of humanity under the saving grace made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. Look, I want you to check this out in Acts, in the book of Acts. But let's look first at verse 7 right now. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, verse 8, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. Now we can go to, we can find this right here in Acts, 10:9 through 16. Look at this. The next day as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. And about the sixth hour, you see, God had to reveal to Peter regarding that the Gentiles were called by God. Verse 10, then he came very hungry and wanted to eat, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Look at this. And saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending. Look at this. Descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creepy things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, each of them had valid ministries ordained, authorized by Christ, because the same God was working through both men and women. Praise God. But let me just say this. The vision that Peter had, we just read, it truly spoke volumes to him that the Gentiles during the times of 2,000 years ago, before salvation came, Gentiles, we were considered dogs. Oh, that's right, to the commonwealth of Israel. And so they would walk around thinking that they were better than anybody else in the world. And yet God, through his foreknowledge, had already ordained that when the day of Pentecost fell and the Holy Ghost was poured out, that salvation would also be for us Gentiles. Praise God. Praise God. How many are so blessed that God saved you, that God saved us? And what did he save us from? God saved us from the wrath of God that is coming to this earth. See, God went through the highways and the byways looking for you and I. Many of us, he had called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Many of us were lost without a cause. Let me just say this. None of us were looking for God, but God in his foreknowledge already knew us before we were conceived in our mother's womb. He knew your name. He knew the position you would be in. He knows the calling in our life. He has the best plan possible for you and I. And all we have to do is walk in faith. Hallelujah, and not by sight. We got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ in the day that we live in, because we know we live right now in perilous times, and God has prepared the church to rise up in faith, to rise up and to be more than conquerors through Christ. We're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. Listen, my friends, as we walk boldly yet humbly before God, God said that he will put a hedge of protection around us, and no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you and I, God will condemn. Can I get an amen in the house? So I need you to know, walk with confidence, walk with God's grace, walk with the anointing of God, the power of God, and allow God to do the miraculous, just like how he used these apostles, these men, hallelujah, of faith 2,000 years ago. God wants to use you and I for such a time as this. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody got to give them praise and glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, my friends, both Paul and Peter preached the same gospel, and through their audiences were vastly different. The message did not, though, could not, and would not ever change. Praise God. The gospel that remains unchanged today is that salvation is by God's grace alone for anyone who believes. Aren't you so blessed? We don't have to run around Sweetwater's football field 200 laps before we get God's approval. No. God says, come as you are. And he will remove the dross. He will take away the sins. He will be the one to raise us up from our dead state of mind and our spirit. Hallelujah. And then God will cleanse us in his blood, and then wash us in it with his blood, and then fill us with his Holy Spirit. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to be a child of God? I know I am. I'm so very thankful. So very thankful. So now, my friends, let's go to verse 9. Let's go to verse 9 in Galatians chapter 2. And it reads, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go to the Gentiles, and they to what? The circumcised. There it is. Those were God's plan for you and I. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, the men mentioned were James and the half-brother of Jesus and the leader of the Jerusalem church, and two of Jesus' original disciples and part of his inner circle of three, Peter and John. You see, my friends, these three noted leaders accepted Paul and Barnabas as their co-workers, giving their blessing and encouragement in their ministry. amongst the Gentiles. Why? Because these pillars of the church had recognized the gift of God that had been given to Paul. And that was through the anointing. Listen, let me just say this, my friends. When you and I encounter someone that God has anointed, appointed, and approved, you will know without a shadow of a doubt, because the presence of God in them will bear witness to your own Holy Ghost that's living inside you. Yeah, oh yes, you will feel the anointing of God in that person's life. Oh, I remember back when I used to attend North Park Apostolic Church. The founder, Bishop Raymond Trout, filled with the Holy Ghost. You could just sit right next to him and just have a conversation, and you would feel the anointing, the presence of God just pouring out of his life, just out of his being. And you know you were in the presence of God. That is powerful. That is powerful. And you'll know because the Holy Ghost will bear witness. You see, my friends, there was evidence of God's saving grace in Paul's own life and the results flowing from his ministry among the Gentiles. Many converts were being born again through the power of the Holy Spirit using Paul. Hallelujah. You see, we all remember he was Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor. But when God changes a heart, when God changes a life, when God, hallelujah, redeems one of his own, hallelujah, guess what? The power of the Holy Spirit will bear witness. And those, hallelujah, that used to see this person at one time in a different light will know that something miraculous has taken place with that individual. And that was Paul. Paul was a walking, talking advertisement, saints of God, for the gospel. He was sold out. He was sold out. Look at what it says right here in Romans, right here. Paul said it best. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God to what? To salvation. Praise God for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Praise God. You see, saints, so Paul and Barnabas, they were encouraged to keep preaching to the Gentiles while the apostles in Jerusalem and Judea could continue their work with the Jews. Oh, yes, that's right. See, God used Paul and Barnabas mightily. And this referred to each group's main focus. It was not exclusive. Can I get an amen? The apostles ministered to many, many Gentiles. And Paul and his team always spoke to Jews as well. Oh, yes, that's right. Yet always their message was the same, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is salvation by God's grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. How many are so blessed, hallelujah, that you God saved you? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So let's move on now to verse 10. Verse 10 in Galatians chapter 2. And it reads, they desired only that we should remember the poor. And the very thing in which I was also eager to do. Praise God. Praise God, saints. Listen, although the ministry and message of Paul and Barnabas had been accepted, the entire issue had not been handled because the Judaizers, once again, had not been silenced. They were a type of a termite. If I'm going to say it in that kind of analogy. You know, all termites do is eat away at your wood. And if you don't do anything about it, your house can collapse. And that's what these Judaizers were, these false teachers. They would come in with their own ideas. They were not anointed by God. They were actually sent by the enemy. And coming in with false doctrine, teaching them so many foolish things that did not represent the true gospel. And they had to be silenced. Someone had to stand up to them, praise God. And it would be the council of Jerusalem to block the efforts to bring the gospel back under the law. Oh, that's right. In the meantime, saints of God, much effort would be required to promote unity at the grassroots. Oh, that's right. And level between Jewish and Gentile Christians coming together as one realizing that we're all in this thing together. We are new creatures in Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, saints, the apostles realized that one immediate and practical way to bridge this possible gap would be to remember to help the poor, to have something in common. Listen, yes, we're saved, but what are you doing with your salvation? Are you helping the poor? Are you preaching? Are you exhorting? Are you lifting up? Are you building up someone's life? Hallelujah. Listen, there's a time to rebuke. There's a time to correct someone. But once the correction and the rebuke has been given, now you come in to edify and to build up. Here's a wonderful little analogy. And I remember my former pastor, he had shared this with us. When he was 9 years old, he used to always get in trouble, and his mother would take a switch. A switch is made like out of a fishing pole, you know. And let me just say this. If you bring your arm back with that switch and it struck your legs, it would put a welt on your legs. It would sting and it would hurt for a long time. And so my former pastor had mentioned when he was 9 years old, he figured out something that would take away the sting of that switch. So he figured this out. Instead of running away, because as you're running, she would take that with all her might and come with full force, and it would catch him on the leg and it would sting. So he figured this out. He said, I'm not going to run away. I'm going to run and hold on to her. And as he ran to her and held on to her and started crying and asking, forgive me, I'm sorry. What happened was his mother would then drop the switch, and then she would pick him up and she would tell him what was wrong and why she came after him like that. And then she started ministering to him and showing him what's right and what's wrong. That went a whole much longer way, meaning that meant so much. Because there's people that will chastise you and then not even tell you why. There has to be, after chastisement, reconciliation. You have to come right behind that now. And now our job is to restore that person, to help build them up, show that person that there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. How many can say amen to that? Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, we could find another illustration found here in the book of Luke. Look at this. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Why? Because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Listen, there's a whole lot of people that are so tight-fisted with what God has given them. It's almost like you got to get a crowbar to just pry the fingers open so they can release their blessings to other people. But God is saying, listen, everything that we own doesn't belong to us. It all belongs to God. So I've learned that when you empty yourself out, whether it's time, giving of yourself, giving of your finances, whatever the case may be, God will then replenish you, because he will see that you're a vessel that he has created to give out, to give it away. And then God will replenish you so that you can give more away. That's how the gospel works. We shouldn't hoard anything. Some of us will look at our savings account, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, and freak out and not trust God. We got to learn to trust God. How many of you are learning to trust God? Amen. Amen. I am. I'm doing my best to learn to trust God, because I know that everything that I have, it all belongs to him. He just said, be a good steward of what I've given you and allow me to bless your life. And so I'm learning that. I'm trying to get a hold of this, saints of God. And you and I should also learn, hallelujah, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, Paul assured them that he had been eager to do that, to help out with the poor. Paul never forgot his understanding. He continued to be eager to help the poor believers in Jerusalem and all his journeys. And on his missionary journeys, especially the third journey, Paul gathered funds to help the poor Jewish believers. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. It's right here in the Word of God. Let's look at this. Look what Paul did in Acts 24:17. Now, after many years, look at this. I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation. You see, he was all about his father's business. Look what he also wrote in the book of Romans right here. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He gathered funds by faith to bring to the poor. Praise God, praise God. Look what he also wrote in 1 Corinthians right here. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Look at this in verse 3 and 4. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. Look, he was always looking out for the saints. But if it is fitting that I go also, that they will go with me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. See, Paul's heart was for the people, Jew and Gentile. You see, before he wanted to destroy them, he wanted to persecute them, he wanted to just annihilate them. And now he has surrendered his whole entire life. He has laid down his life as a drink offering. He's offered his whole life to God. Have you gotten to that point, my friends? Have you given your life away so that God will allow you to find your life and you'll find your purpose? And your purpose should be to serve others, to bless others. Oh, that's right. And while you're doing that, he will take care of all of our needs according to what? His riches and glory. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's go to verse 11 in Galatians chapter 2. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was what? To be blamed. Wow. Wow, saints of God. You see, this was in Antioch in Syria, as distinguished from Antioch in Pisidia. Antioch was a major trade center in the ancient world, heavily populated by Greeks. It eventually became a strong Christian center. In Antioch, the believers were first called what? Christians. Oh, that's right. That's right. Let's look at this found in the book of Acts. Look at this in Acts 24 through 26. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and great many people were added to the Lord. Then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. Here it is. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Did you catch that, my friends? They were called Christians. This is where the word Christians has became famous in the day that we live in. We're called Christians. Believers. I like to say, if someone asks me, saints of God, what do you believe in? I said, first and foremost, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because nowadays, when you say you're a Christian, there's so many denominations that say they're Christians, and yet there's no proof that they are. You don't see the power of God resonating in their heart. You don't see the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness. You don't see none of that operate in their life. So the way I identify myself is I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my personal Savior, and I have a personal relationship with Him. Can I get an amen? Praise God. So, in Antioch, in Syria, became the headquarters for the Gentile church and was Paul's base of operations, saints of God. And when Peter made this trip to Antioch, there is no reference to it, really, you could point out in the book of Acts, but he was there. And it may have occurred soon after Paul and Barnabas and Titus had returned to Antioch from Jerusalem after delivering the famine relief. We just read, they collected funds to help the poor. And perhaps Peter wanted to see for himself the ministry taking place in Antioch. And during this visit, Paul had to oppose Peter publicly. And Peter's actions were very wrong with Paul, an apostle with the right to speak with authority, and had to confront Peter. And the event evolved an emotional face-to-face showdown. Wow, as we just read in Scripture. Peter was caught in a glaring inconsistency, saints of God, that might have gone tragically unresolved if it not for Paul's boldness. This is where I got the message. Paul was bold. Paul was bold. It was the boldness of the Apostle Paul. And saints of God, he always focused on the purity of the gospel truth. And whenever it was threatened, Paul acted on it. Oh, that's right. That's right. Praise God. So now, let's move on. Let's move on to verse 12 in Galatians chapter 2. And it reads, "For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision." See, there was quite a bit of conflict here. And this is why Paul was sent to take care of these matters. You see, saints, when Peter arrived in Antioch, he saw that the Jewish and Gentile Christians enjoyed fellowship at mealtimes without any concern over Jewish dietary laws. Oh, that's right. Oh, man, they were indulging together just whatever even the Gentiles ate at that time. And his setting aside long, I'm talking long, established taboos against Jews sharing a board and room with Gentiles showed nothing less than his acceptance of freedom in Christ Jesus. You see, my friends, Peter accepted these practices. He himself had received the vision from God, as we just read, when the sheets came in and he saw that God spoke to him clearly. What I have called cleansed is no longer cursed. It's no longer basically unclean. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed that God had to wake up Peter like that? So indeed, Peter had been the first to receive the understanding about God's acceptance of the Gentiles, and that he was to first preach to the Gentiles. Peter understood from this vision that he should not look upon the Gentiles as inferior people whom God would not redeem. And how many so blessed that God redeemed us? Can I get an amen? And after Peter had this vision, a Gentile Roman officer named Cornelius asked him to come and share the gospel. Hallelujah. And his whole entire household got saved. And so Peter did so. He went without the hesitation. He had felt before the vision. And Cornelius, his household, his servants, everyone became believers by the grace of God. And thus, my friends, when Peter arrived at Antioch, he already knew that God had broken down the barriers between Jews and Gentiles. And he understood the true meaning of Christian freedom. Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, so he gladly ate with all the Gentile Christians. Praise God. And the imperfect tense of the verb indicates that this was not one occasion, but a repeated pattern, praise God. Meaning that Peter joined with the other Jews in eating with their Gentile brothers and sisters in Christ on a regular basis, praise God. So my friends, this pattern undoubtedly went beyond sharing common meals and included taking the Lord's Supper together, praise God, the communion. But all that was before some Jewish friends of James came. Uh-oh, here comes the Judaizers, the legalists, And these men were the legalist and most likely not sent by James. The wording here means they came from James's group. That is, from Jerusalem's church. Oh yeah, there's always going to be religious folks in your that come into your life and try to teach you otherwise than what the Word of God already has spoken. For the Bible lets us know that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And so James, as leader of the Jerusalem church, had a vast range of people to deal with. And these men were part of the legalistic group of his church. Wow. And among the entourage from Jerusalem, there must have been certain men who frowned on fraternizing with the Gentiles. And they may have been rigid and legalistic Jewish Christians, but they were probably associated with the same false Christians who had disrupted Paul's visit to Jerusalem. My goodness. And so, my friends, this group probably tried to trade on James' authority. And he later firmly denied sending them. Praise God. Praise God for James, saying that I didn't send these folks. And the letter sent back to the Gentile Christians in Antioch after the Jerusalem Council. This is what James wrote. Look at this. Look at this right here. Found in Acts 15:24. We understand that some men from here have troubled you and upset you with their teaching, but they had no such instruction for us. Praise God. Praise God. See, you can see where this was written for our learning, our understanding, saints of God. Praise God. Praise God. And so apparently, my friends, the mere appearance of this group caught Peter by surprise. And when these legalists arrived, they may have expressed shock at Peter's conduct. Peter surely knew these men, and as they came from the Jerusalem church, and he was influenced by their presence to the point that he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. Wow, wow. Let me just say this, be careful. Be careful who, what others may think they are. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and bring you false doctrine, try to sway you from the truth. Guard your heart. Jesus said in the last days there would be deceivers, that there would be basically flat-out liars. He says, take heed, let no one deceive you, for God is not mocked. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 13 in Galatians chapter 2. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with the hypocrisy. Oh no, not Barnabas. Not the one that was sent with Paul. Yes, even Barnabas got carried away. So saints, as Peter acted on his fear, the other Jews, meaning those not already committed to the policy of separation, went along with this hypocrisy. It's so easy to fall in for lies. This is why we got to guard our heart. Look at this. God frowns on hypocrisy, meaning hypocrites. Look what Solomon wrote in Proverbs right here. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints of God? Oh yes. See, saints, they too gradually stopped joining with the Gentiles and eating and fellowshipping with them. These other Jewish Christians were the Jewish believers who lived in Antioch and were members of the church there. In that setting, they were most likely in the minority. Kind of like this. We're in a woke generation. And it's 1% of the population, but they want to make you think that they are a majority. And that's a lie. That's a lie. You see, the 1% is the media and this little group called the woke progressive. And they spin it on commercials and movies and things of that nature, thinking that the whole nation is like that. My friends, what happened back, what we're reading now, is no different than today. And so we need to guard our heart. We need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, my friends, Paul mentioned Barnabas separately, probably because Paul was especially surprised that Barnabas would be so influenced. Barnabas was Paul's traveling companion. And together they preached the gospel to the Gentiles, proclaiming Jews and Gentiles oneness with Christ. Barnabas was not from the Jerusalem church and would not even had the personal and relationship stake in this matter that Peter had. Yet, like Peter, Barnabas was human. And for some unknown reason, he followed Peter's example of not eating with the Gentiles. You see, my friends, Paul boldly pointed out the hypocrisy. Praise God! A hypocrite says one thing but does another. And Peter, Barnabas, and the Jewish believers knew that God accepted everyone equally, that salvation was available to all, that there should be no separation in the body of Christ. Can I get an amen, saints of God? Yet their actions imply just the opposite. If Paul had opted for peace and allowed these actions to go unrebuked, the Christian church would have divided into two distinct groups going their own separate ways. But this was not God's plan. Can I get an amen? Nor was it consistent with the truth of the gospel, the good news. As Paul would explain in the next verse. Look at this. Let's go to the next verse. Here, found in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 14. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? Wow. Wow, my friends. Woo, thank you, God. See, this was a valid question, wasn't it? Oh, yes. Yes, it was. You see, saints, this was the crux of the matter, that they, Peter, Barnabas, and the Jewish believers in Antioch were not following the truth of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This truth was that Jesus had died and had risen again to offer salvation to all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. And so both groups are equally acceptable to God. Can I get an amen? And thus, they must be equally acceptable to one another. Jewish believers separating themselves implied that they were superior because of their race, traditions, or even law-keeping. But the good news was clearly shows, however, saints of God, that people do not become accepted by God for anything they do. Praise God. Paul did not oppose Peter in order to elevate himself. Paul recounted this story in this letter to the Galatians to show that he was a full apostle and could speak with authority, even in opposition to another apostle, if the truth of the gospel were at stake. My friends, this was not a secondary issue blown out of proportion. The confrontation fit the crisis. Paul spoke to Peter publicly in front of all the others, and that is in the front of the Jewish believers, the Gentile believers, and the legalists and Barnabas. And those who want to attribute other motives to Paul might ask why he didn't go to Peter privately. And wouldn't that have been more peace-loving, more Christian-like? But Peter's actions had started a domino effect. And because of his authority as an apostle, his action had confused the believers. Oh, that's right. You see, my friends, a private solution to this problem was not an option. Peter's action was public. And with public consequences, the rebuke had to be public. As the leader of the Jerusalem church, Peter was setting public policy. Oh, that's right. Paul recorded this exactly, hallelujah, in our next verse of scripture. Let's look at this in verse 15 as we come in for a close. We who are of the Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, both Paul and Peter were Jews by birth, as were obviously all the Jewish Christians. Yet, being Jews by birth was not enough for salvation. Paul's phrase, sinners like the Gentiles, was said ironically. Why? Because this was the scornful name of Jews applied to the Gentiles. Peter's actions had conveyed some sort of holier-than-thou It was an attitude in line with the teaching that the Gentiles were still sinners unless they became Jewish. And that was false teaching. But both Peter and Paul knew better. Can I get an amen? They knew better. And my friends, I'm here to let you know that in the times that you and I live in, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. There are so many, look at how many denominations there are. And everyone will say, I've got the truth. We've got the truth. Well, my friends, in order to know the truth, you need to know the scriptures. You need to be in God's word. You need to understand the stories, the outlines, precept upon precept, line by line, book to book. Learn the word of God so that you would fill your being with the knowledge of God. And God will reveal and illuminate to you a more clear, a more better way. Praise God, praise God. But I'm here to also let you know, saints of God, that soon and very soon, that's right, Jesus is coming again. He's coming. Why is he coming? Because as you can see the chaos around the world, as you can see what's taking place in our nation, almost every week now, people are dying in our streets, in our schools. Oh, that's right. There is so much violence and wickedness. You can't even watch television anymore. Everything's perverted now. Our children are being attacked at the tender age of 3 and 4 and 5 with this abomination that they want to shove down their throats. My friends, we're living in perilous times. And Jesus is soon to return. And I hope that those who are listening right now, maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm here to let you know there's good news for you too. That you can give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today and surrender and learn the word of God and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible's clear that when Jesus comes for his church, he's going to remove us out of this world. And then the wrath of God, the tribulation, will kick in. And for 7 years, this world is going to go through H-E-double-L. That's right. It's going to be a horrendous time for those who are left behind. And for the church, we'll be up in heaven celebrating the coronation of the King. We'll be up there celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb. And for 7 years, we'll be in heaven praising Jesus for what he has done in our lives. Because you and I, God has saved from the guttermost to the uttermost. God has called you and I out of darkness into his marvelous light. God, hallelujah, in his sovereign knowledge, knew you and I before we were conceived in our mother's womb. And God has saved many of us, hallelujah. But I'm talking to the one right now, or maybe two or three or whomever, who has never given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time now. It's time to surrender all to him. Cry out with a loud voice. Say, oh God, save me, I'm a sinner. Oh God, cleanse me, wash me. Oh God, help me forsake my ways so that I could come to you boldly yet humbly before the throne room of grace. My friends, Jesus is coming again. And when he comes, he's going to show us in the word of God how he's going to do that. Let's look at this right up here in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this in verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Aren't you so blessed? God is showing us in his word what's about to take place. And my friends, the next greatest event that's going to take place is the rapture of the church. And let me just say this, when you and I who are born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, when God removes his church, this world will go into utterly chaos. And they will be looking for someone to lead them. And that's when the Antichrist will rise up. You see, the reason why the Antichrist hasn't been revealed, because the church is still here. The Holy Spirit that lives within us is still here. And we will know that that's not of God. But an unbeliever, the world that's left behind, they will need to gravitate to someone. And they will run after this false teacher, this false Antichrist. And it'll be ugly, because for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, they'll bring a peace. But the last 3.5, he will slaughter most of the believers. And many, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, will have to give up their heads in order to come into the kingdom of God. Listen, why go through all that? Listen, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. I'd rather give my heart to Jesus in the times that are still available to me than to resort and get my head chopped off for the cause of Christ. Listen, let me just show you right here in Scripture the greatest event that's coming. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does what? Corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all what? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. 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 You got to catch this, saints. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. You see, we can't get to heaven in these bodies of flesh. So God has to do the miraculous thing. He has to change our whole body structure. And we will have a body like his. When Jesus rose again on the third day, he was the first prototype. He can appear and disappear. Oh, that's right. And he can float away. And that's what he did. They saw him float away into heaven. We will have that type of body like his. Oh, that's right. But listen, if you're a protagonist, meaning, oh, I'm going to put this off. I'm just going to put this off. And thinking that you have time, listen, don't let this, what you see next, happen to you. Let's go here.
The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
That's always going to be the million-dollar question, my friends. Are you ready? Are you ready to surrender? Give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he could come now, any day, any hour. And what another revelation that God gave me is that no one knows the day or the hour when he's coming. You don't know when he's coming for you personally, because no one can predict the day that we're going to die. And so that day is unknown to you and I. He doesn't want us to know that, because we would walk in fear and we would live a frantic life knowing that that day is coming. And so why take a chance? Why gamble when you can do this? Because this is one of the key scriptures, that you would repent and give your heart to Christ and have the assurance of eternal life. Let's look at this for a moment. It's found in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38 through 39. Then Peter said to them, repent. That means turn to God. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn. Turn from your sin. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Huh? Aren't you so blessed? My goodness, my goodness. Let me just say this. God is calling you. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, here is your opportunity. Pray this prayer by faith with me. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you could spare the time of wrath that is coming on this earth. Bow your heart and your head and pray this with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, somebody give God a shout of praise. Someone give God a shout of glory. Hallelujah. Listen, if you got saved right now, down below, that's our website. Log on. Our phone number, our email's there. Reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. We want to lead you and guide you to a right church that'll preach the unadulterated Word of God. And we want to just pray with you and just celebrate with you that you've given your heart to Christ. And so, my friends, we are so moved and touched by all of your generosity. So down below, as you can see, donations are deeply appreciated. And so, my friends, it's time to sign off. And once again, just to remind you, next Wednesday on the 22nd, we will not be here. And I will return with our Wednesday night Bible study on the 29th. And pray for us that God blesses our trip. We're going to be leaving on the 21st. So I'll still be here this Sunday, because this Sunday, it's a Father's Day's message. And we're going to have wonderful worship with Brother Andre, Sister Leah, and Brother Angel. We're looking forward to it. I know God's going to be glorified and magnified. And so, my friends, it's time for me to say goodbye. Our service this Sunday morning will be at 10 o'clock at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And allow me to leave this benediction to you, that you would be blessed and have a peaceful evening and a wonderful sleep. And God will give us another day tomorrow. Can I get an amen? And so the benediction on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself and the Amazing Grace family goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. My friends, we love you. God bless you. And we will see you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.